This here's a radio program. It's Grant Nanny on 106.7 The Fan. No GP. He's out, man. He's out this week. Toby is in. We got a good one for you. I like shows like this. This is, we're going to hit you with bursts, right? We're not going to do one thing for like 7 hours. We got a lot. We're going to pepper you. Fast and furious, but like not like the stupid movies. Good. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Something that, you know, is repetitive. And you want that, right? Like the same thing over and over?
I don't want Vin Diesel muttering his way one line at a time through another 90 minutes of nonsense.
It's about family.
Family. They're like, we can't give this knucklehead more than seven syllables.
Otherwise, seen any of those, by the way.
Here's the thing. See one of them. It doesn't matter which one. Then you've seen him. Thanks, Vin. Good take, buddy. I have no idea what we're going to do. That's the best he can do. He one time said, I am Groot. I'm kidding. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So we got a leaked email or something. I don't know if it's not leaked. It went out, but then
it was an email that meant something that didn't mean it. That I have no idea.
And then the Caps are like, nah, we'll talk about that here in a moment. We got a non-rumor. Here's the thing. We should be complimented. I'll explain that to you at 2:45. We should be thrilled talking about the Local 53, the football team. You're going to be linked to everybody. Anybody that's slightly gruntled, not even disgruntled, gruntled, Topes, Washington's going to be linked to. It's cool. Caleb Williams, the guy that went in front of Jaden Daniels. Anyway, he had a response that's actually dividing fans. I think it was Seth Wickersham, wasn't it?
Yes.
The article? Yeah. Seth Wickersham wrote a piece with some jaw-dropping details about, how would you say it? The reticence of Caleb Williams and his camp to go to Chicago?
Yeah, like finding any way, legal loopholes, anything, not to go there. So, thankfully, we don't have to deal with that.
And Caleb Williams addressed it. And, yeah, again, it's sort of torn people into two distinct separate camps. We got Post Malone tickets at 4:00. Talk about breakouts on offense and defense. Caps fans, we've got a couple segments for you as well. But I want to start real quick on the hardwood like we did yesterday. Just give some flowers super quickly to Oklahoma City. What a weird thing for me to say out loud. Because I grew up without an Oklahoma City as a basketball team. Mm-hmm. And now it's just kind of normal. The should have been Supersonics, but they're not. This is their second trip to the finals now. They did it with that big three of Durant, Westbrook, and James Harden.
They should have made it. They were up 3-1 in the Western Conference Finals.
And they should have made it a second time. You're right.
Yeah.
And they're back again. The MVP of the regular season, SGA. MVP of the postseason so far, according to every analytic and every number that we've got. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, your thoughts on the Thunder going?
It's so impressive to see what they've done, because when you look at where they're at, they're kind of what you dream about. Like when you go in and you play 2K or you play Madden or any of these things, you try to build with superstars and with great players, and then you also want to have every draft pick, and you want to have everything imaginable. And when you look at where OKC is right now, they kind of have all of that. They have multiple first round picks in the next 3 drafts. They were absolutely dominating everybody at home this year. I saw that Bill Simmons had tweeted out that they were 8-1 so far in the playoffs. They've won those 8 games by 51, 19, 43, 7 was a real close one.
These are playoff games.
Yeah.
This isn't, you know, second game of back-to-back when someone's, you know, on an overnight road trip.
32, 36, 15, and 30. They're at home in their 9 home games are a plus 231. It's just insane.
Nuts.
How they're just dominating everybody. So it's been impressive to see the way that they've built these things. And I think the NBA, they found their next superstar. I don't know that. I think they kind of wanted to crown Anthony Edwards, and they're kind of forced now to take over and just say, SGA, man, it's you. MVP, the way that he's leading this team now to the NBA Finals, and regardless of who they face, whether it's going to be the Knicks, which is unlikely, or the Pacers, they're heavily favored to win the NBA Finals. So what a run for OKC.
Couple other details. And you know, listen, it's not the marquee matchup that the association wants. They want a couple of big markets or a couple, you know, superstars that everybody knows. Boston, New York, LA, Miami, Golden State, we know the drill. So ratings-wise, it probably won't be as good as it could be. But for the league itself, the overall health, this is one of those, eat your vegetables because you're going to get the benefits. They needed this. OKC doesn't pay the luxury tax. This potentially, if the Pacers get to the NBA Finals as well, it'll be the first time since they implemented this format, the two teams that don't pay the tax are going to meet in the finals. That's a huge deal. The Thunder are the blueprint for how to tank and how to rebuild. They tanked. It worked better than anybody's tanking has ever worked. They got the league MVP. Every player in the rotation is under contract for next season. The fourth youngest roster in the association at 24 years of age. The sixth lowest payroll. Four first-round picks in the 2025 NBA draft. And it goes on from there. They are, in addition to the dominance that we've talked about, and they won by 30 last night, ho-hum, they remind me, on the pro level, of those UConn teams.
Sure,
where
yeah.
You feel like you're going back and forth, and you look up, and they're up by 20. And you go, how the hell did that just happen? Yeah, I mean, there are obviously big shots and moments, but they just, it's like this boa constrictor. They just squeeze you and squeeze you and squeeze you. They're unstoppable. How about the future first round, future draft picks for the Thunder? 2025, well, that's this year. Two first-rounders and a second. In 2026, two first-rounders and a second. 2027, two first-rounders and a second. Come on, man.
Just insane.
This is a clinic. They should teach a class. Executives should go to that class. Unbelievable. They got a great chance to win the whole damn thing. I hope they do, quite frankly, just to reward this kind of excellent front officing, mm-hmm. this excellent behavior. We got one of those guys here in town with the Wizards, Will Dawkins. Let's go, man. You were part of this thing. Take some of that secret sauce, open the restaurant, and let's get to work. If only you didn't get boned so hard, sir,
yes.
in that lottery. You did. I trust you're going to find the best player available. There are fewer good players available. Five, to be exact, before you pick at number six. There are five players I'd probably rather have than the guy you get at mm-hmm. six, but we can talk about that later. So let's get to the Caps here real quick. And most specifically, Alex Ovechkin. So here's what happened. I didn't see the initial email or message until this afternoon. All I saw was the Caps PR statement. So apparently what happened, the email, this is from hockeywriters.com. The email to season ticket holders reads, October, the start of Capitals hockey and Alex Ovechkin's final NHL season. And it goes on to list the accomplishments. We know them, the goal record, yada, 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 the whole nine yards. Well, the Capitals have since walked that back. The PR staff has said, let me find the pull up the tweet here. No decision has been made from Caps PR about an hour ago. No decision has been made on Alex Ovechkin's future following the 2025-26 NHL season. An email was sent from an individual with the corporate sales department that mistakenly alluded to next year being Alex Ovechkin's final year. So no further statement. So I'll tell you what I think in a second, but what do you make of this?
Yeah, I mean, it's something where you can probably put two and two together that it's looking likely that next year is Alex Ovechkin's final season. It, you know, getting that email out today, seeing that blurb kind of felt like, okay, I'm not surprised by this. It's not mm-hmm. like it came out of left field and you're like, whoa, what? He's going to be done? No, I mean, everything kind of points to that being the final season. And, you know, it seems like from what they're saying, at least the PR staff is saying, and maybe this is right or not, who knows, but it sounds like they we're saying that the salesperson kind of put two and two together, like we have here on the radio, talked about this plenty of times as well, like next year might be it for him. And they said, well, here's how we can sell a few more tickets. Here's how we can make sure we get butts in seats for not just big games against the Penguins, big games against the Hurricanes again, big games against the Rangers, pick your team. Instead, we're going to fill every single home game. Because, by the way, if it is Ovi's final season next year, every single home game should be sold out. Everybody should be in the building. Any chance you get, I'm going to make an appointment that I'm over there a couple of times to see Ovi in his final run, if that's the case. But you also want to give Alex Ovechkin, the greatest goal scorer of all time, one of the greatest hockey players of all time, an opportunity to say it himself. And so who yeah. knows? I don't know that the salesperson is wrong in assuming this. No one's announced it. The team hasn't announced it. Maybe we see at some point that Ovi does announce this. I think it's just getting a little bit hasty, and the PR staff is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He probably hasn't even fully made his decision yet, by the way. I mean, the offseason just started for them. If he comes in next year, feels good, and halfway through the year, he's still rolling, he's still on a 40-goal pace, and he's like, you know what, maybe I give it one more go-around. So I don't even know that he's made his decision. I just think when you put two and two together, it looks like next year could be the end for him, and this salesperson said, well, let's see if we can get a little hasty with this, and PR staff's like, whoa, 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 chill out a little bit.
So the context clues are important. And again, you said something that I want to stress. I think it's very critical in all this. This is obvious, and for anybody, but I think it still needs to be said. Every player should have the right to decide when they make their retirement announcement, let alone what he's meant here, and let alone sort of the culture of hockey surrounding some of the reverence and respect that you know, peers have, but kind of that hovers around hockey. He deserves the right to make the announcement on his own time, and he should. So whether he wants the PR tour, not the PR tour, whether he wants the celebration tour, hey, this is my last year. Every time he goes to an arena for the final time, he gets his flowers, he gets his commemorative puck or commemorative stick or a goalie pad from someone that he beat for a bunch of the goals, whatever. He's earned that right, and that's obvious. So that should go without saying, but I said it. So, phase two here. I think it's real. I think they know. And they're trying to protect. I don't think anyone's done anything wrong here except maybe sales guy Sammy. He's trying to drum up business. And that's kind of to your point. What happened? Look at the context clues. Final year of his deal. Okay. As the Caps get ready to sort of climb up. Not even sort of. Caps getting ready to climb up even more in 2026-27. He's already done something that we weren't sure if he would need another year to do. Right? In terms of the
Correct.
Goal record.
Yes.
So now it's just piling on. Now you go past the 900 threshold. Now, you know, when you end up at 925, 931, whatever it is, you've done something that nobody else has even sniffed. The greatest hockey player ever did not score 900 goals. There you are, right? To me, I think that's exactly what's happening. I think I couldn't have timed up better for him to walk away. This is just me speculating. I'm not sourcing anything. Haven't talked to anybody. It makes sense to me, though. Again, just based on all the context clues that he's walking away. I think they probably know it. I think they want to let the Stanley Cup Finals happen. The offseason happens. He'll make the announcement when he wants to. If he wants to play his final game and then stand up and say, okay, that's it, I'm done, bye, he's allowed to do that. If he wants a retirement tour, he's allowed to do that too. Whatever he wants, he should get. But I think they know internally that this is it. And I think it leaked. I think the problem isn't the information. I think the problem is the leaking of it.
Yeah, I think it's probably something that if you gave a percentage chance that it's probably his final season upcoming, it's probably north of 80%, right? I mean, it sounds like you're probably thinking more 85, 90%. I'd say I'm right around 80. Because, look, I think sometimes we get into this mode where we think, put yourself in his shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
You just went through a grueling season where you were the number one team in the Eastern Conference. You bowed out in a disappointing series against the Hurricanes. And so you probably want a little bit of time off before you even think about next year.
Right.
Especially someone like Ovi that's accomplished so much. And look, he looked older and like someone that might be not fit against playing against the Carolina team, right? Like he struggled in that series. There's no question about it. But he probably needs a little bit of time. So I think a lot of times we just assume, oh, he knows. He might not, right? Like sometimes these guys know. They know when they need to hang it up. You hear guys talk about this all the time in the NFL. Like, I got hit the one time. I've heard B. Mitch talk about, you know, I was catching a punt and I was thinking what I was doing. He's like, at that point, I knew I was done. Ovi scored 44 goals this year. I don't think at any point he's looking at it saying, yeah, I don't think I have it anymore. I think he was totally fine. But you look at, like you said, the context clues, final year of his deal. What does he have to chase left? He might win another cup, and you can chase that every year. Like,
sure.
We can obviously talk about that. But, you know, if he wants to get to the next milestone is 900, he's going to play next year. He's going to get to that. Does he want to get to 1,000 career goals? We were talking about this before the show. If he wants to get to 1,000, that's likely at least 3 years, unless he's scoring 103 goals in 2 years, which he could do. You're never going to count out the great eight, but I don't see that being very likely. And if that's the case, final year of his deal, he said he wants to go play in Russia for a year when he's finished. I mean, it kind of all lines up perfectly where it was a magical season this year. Next year can kind of be the Ovi farewell tour. And by the way, you've still got a good Capitals team as well that they're going to go into next year with how they played this season as a potential cup contender again. And they're going to make moves to improve this offseason. So I don't see any reason why this is a huge issue. You know, this email and everything, I get that you want to give him his chance, but I would say there's probably an 80%+ chance that next year is his final year.
So the way I view this is it's just kind of a bummer that if this turns out to be true, it's a lot like the stupid name change for the football team when they didn't mean to reveal it while they were trying to do content in the making the brand or whatever those videos were, or having stuff in the team store, having the helicopter look mm-hmm. overhead. It stole the thunder from the announcement. Now, the announcement sucked, and we've gone through that, and it's the worst name ever, and I wish they would change it. But whatever. Point is, it let out some of the steam. That's what this is to me. And again, I'm not. This is just what I happen to believe. I'm not sourcing any reports. I'm just looking at the context clues and going, yeah, it probably makes sense. I bet you they have a great feel that this is it. Now, maybe the guy, you could tell me, made a mistake and looked at the same salary cap table I'm looking at going, last year of his deal, I got to find a way to get my ticket sold. And, you know, it's a hard gig. So that's what he put in the email, and, you know, he's out of school. Entirely possible. I don't buy that, though. To me, this is one of those, I think everybody's on the same page. I think the organization has talked, and I think it's, Ovi knows, the club knows, and they're trying to do right by him. So the bummer here is it kind of, they wasted the good surprise on you. Like, sure. They pulled the pin here a little bit too early, and the fireworks are going off, and we haven't even sat down for dinner yet. That's what it feels like to me. But I wonder what you guys think. 800-636-1067. To catch you up, a salesperson from Inside Monumental Sports put in an email to season ticket holders. October, the start of Capitals hockey and Alex Ovechkin's final NHL season. The Capitals PR staff, about an hour and a half ago now, came out and said, no decision has been made on Alex Ovechkin's future following the 2025-26 NHL season. An email was sent from an individual with the corporate sales department that mistakenly alluded to next year being Alex Ovechkin's final year. No further comment on that. What do you believe? What do you believe? Has no decision been made? Has a decision been made and he's not only playing next year but beyond? Or do you think, like I do, that this is the farewell tour? And we just kind of found out about it in an anticlimactic way. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Toby in for GP. Is Ovi hanging him up after this year? G&D here on the Fan. Tobes in for Jeeps. Mention it, so I'll mention it also. The Nationals last night? Oh, but a laser show. 24 hours before that, they couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. Following night, you get a double. You get a homer. James Wood hit an obscene bomb. The kind of bomb that everybody goes, oh my God, why'd you have to do that? You hit that too hard, yes. James. And how about the kid? How about Robert Hassel Jr.? The third, rather. The third. The third Robert Hassel hit himself a nuke last night. That was cool.
That was awesome to see. And if you want 50% off some pizzas today, feel free. James Wood hit a home run yesterday.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Darius, did you see this, buddy? By the way, welcome back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Never leave again. Did you see James Wood's commercial?
I did. I see that he's literally out here feeding families.
Pretty good.
Did you hear Dave's call last night? Jags'
no.
call? Darius, if you want to grab Jags' call, he mentioned it.
He's like, really?
Get yourself some pizza, James Wood.
Oh, I love it.
It was awesome. One of my favorite things to do, we have Charlie Slows on the Blitz a little bit later, mm-hmm. so I want to get his thoughts on this. One of my favorite things to do, though, is we obviously know that Jags and Charlie and these guys are used to watching him. But my favorite thing to hear is visiting broadcasters, getting to see him for the first time. And last night, the Mariners broadcast on TV was like, whoa, that ball was annihilated. Yikes.
Yeah, like what Stanton used to do here, yeah. right? Where it's like, oh, God, that's mean, you know? This is Jags' call from last night.
George Kirby has retired Wood twice. First pitch here in the fifth inning. It's cracked a mile high, deep right field. When will it land? Oh, my goodness. Off the facing of the second deck. James Wood has done it again. That's number 15, makes it 6-0. Get yourself some pizza, James Wood.
Tip of the cap for Jags. Good stuff there. James Wood is awesome. This continues, and we will make sure to have more updates mm-hmm. In the future about the awesomeness of that young man. We posted a poll, as is our want here at 106.7 The Fan. Grant Nanny's poll of the day is presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential, or commercial. 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. The poll is simple. Do you think the 2025-26 season will be the final season for Alex Ovechkin? So far, very early returns on the voting. 85% yes, 14% and change no. And that's the topic of the moment. 800-636-1067. There was an email that was sent out from a salesperson with Monumental Sports that referenced very clearly that this was Ovechkin's last year. Get your tickets because you're not going to be able to see him again.
Mm-hmm.
And Capitals PR came out with a statement that said that's not correct. That was premature. No decision has been made. And that's that. What do you believe? Pretty simple. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Shane in Canada. Do you believe this is Ovi's swan song?
Commander Toby, how y'all doing today?
Buddy. What's going on?
Hey, Toby, I got to give you a compliment, Toby. You are killing it right now. Hey, Grant, is it like a starting quarterback? It's going to be hard to get that chair back. Good job, Toby. You're killing it, buddy.
Appreciate
Grant should be worried right now. Everybody loves the backup, right? Hey, look, here's the thing. I do not believe that he's a salesman, for God's sakes. And how does he make his commission? On what? On everything he sells. Absolutely. You know what, though? That's a great selling tactic. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, no, I think he comes back next year. I think he has one thing to prove to himself. I think he wants one more ring. But you know what? I think he deserves to go out and do his farewell tour and have all the stadiums give him what he wants. And let's say what it is. Alex Ovechkin is the GOAT of D.C. He's the greatest athlete to play in this city. This is his city.
Yep.
Of Odell Green and all of them. This is Ovechkin City. He deserves a key to this city from everything he's been through this city, from ups and downs to now the greatest scorer of all time. But he's a GOAT in this city, and he deserves whatever he wants. If he wants to play it out one more year, another year, give him the contract. Look what he has done to this city. He's brought hockey to this city. This is a hockey town. It's starting to be a football town again, but let's call it what it is first. This is a hockey city.
Shane, love it. Appreciate you as always. So to Shane's point, obviously having grown up around here, you basically either had to have a buddy if you wanted to see hockey not at the pro level. You had to have a buddy who belonged to a country club that had an ice rink. The Chevy Chase Club had an ice rink. Or you went over to Fort DuPont by where the Nats Youth Academy is. And there was occasionally some hockey there. I remember it was a novel concept when, while I was in high school, we started a hockey team. There are only a handful of people that, or a handful of schools rather, that were actually competing and playing. And now it's ubiquitous. Whether you go to the St. James or a dozen plus places where there is competitive hockey being played. There's travel hockey now, the same way there's travel baseball and AU basketball and soccer and everything else. That didn't exist before Ovechkin. It just didn't. Hockey was the distant fourth place thing. And there were always hockey fans. There have always been Capitals fans. I mean, I went to Landover, Maryland, like everybody else did, to the US Air Arena, Capitol Center, whatever you call the damn thing. And there were boisterous, vociferous, this is their thing, Capitals fans. So when you brought them to that downtown arena, early on, that's kind of who was there. You credit the marketing folks. You credit everybody for kind of turning this into the cool thing. It's no longer the grizzled older dude that, you know, been going to Caps games since the 70s. And some of those guys are still there. But it was like the young hip person thing. It was like, I work on Capitol Hill. I'm going to happy hour, and then I'm going to the Caps game. Or, I'm a consultant. Get it? Because there's no consultants in D.C. That's a joke. And they're going to the Caps game. Like, it became the hip thing that everybody does.
Yeah.
And that's an Ovechkin catalyst, right, where people know about it. It's not just, again, a handful of hockey fans. I mean, that's the sport I probably went to the most. As a kid, you could get tickets, right? So he has transformed hockey in this marketplace. I think there's no question.
Yeah, I mean, growing up, I wasn't a big hockey fan. And admittedly, I've only really gotten into hockey since I started working here. And I would watch playoff hockey, but I didn't care about much else. But when you thought hockey in this area, it was Alex Ovechkin. It wasn't anything else. It wasn't even really the Washington Capitals. It was Alex Ovechkin. You know, I didn't watch hardly any hockey. But as soon as someone would bring up Sidney Crosby, I had to go, oh, Alex Ovechkin's better. It was Ovi. And he brought so many people to the game. And now, kind of getting towards the end of his career, whether next year is his last year or not, I think a lot more people are getting into, oh, now we have to watch regular season hockey, and this team is so fun to watch, that you're getting more and more fans. So there's no question that Alex Ovechkin, at least in my life, and I think a lot of people my age probably are similar, that aren't diehard hockey fans that grew up that way, feel the same way, that Alex Ovechkin is hockey to me.
Well, Shane brought up a good point, and here's the thing. This is not the best way to build a franchise. This isn't what I'm about to say. Not the best way to build the team. But if Ovechkin would like to play beyond his contract, I say okay.
Yes.
And that probably isn't the best thing to have a 41-year-old or 42-year-old who, can't skate with the Hurricanes at the same way. And it's understandable that he can't. I mean, again, the deposits are in the bank. That whatever the hockey equivalent is of the gold jacket, he's getting that. The greatest goal scorer ever to live played here the whole time. All 890 and change were in a Washington uniform. So the fact is, though, he's meant so much that if he would like that Godfather offer where it's like, listen, man, what do you want to do? You want to make however much money? Won't be that good, but you've earned that right? I mean, honestly, to me, he's transcended good practice for hockey and or for sports building, for team building. And I know that ruffles a lot of people and rubs them the wrong way, because the whole point is for the team to win. But sometimes that individual, very rarely, transcends that. I think he's past that threshold for me.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things we saw what happens when one of these things gets ripped away. And you saw this in Dallas when Luka Doncic got traded, right? Where a bunch of Mavericks fans were like, screw the Mavericks, I was a Luka fan. Even though they've been diehard fans of that team their entire life. I think people that were diehard Capitals fans, now they're Ovi fans. And so Ovi gets to do whatever he wants. If he wants to continue to play for 3 more years and chase the 1,000 goal mark, let's do it, Ovi. As long as you want to keep playing and you're in a Capital sweater, great. It's one of those things that he does transcend the team a little bit, even if it maybe is a little, like you said, counterproductive and maybe in some ways might hold them back slightly. He's still also playing at an incredibly high level. It's not like he's a deadweight scoring 10 goals a year. He scored 44 in a year where he missed a lot of games. Like, Russian machine never breaks.
Yeah, he was a non-factor in the Carolina series. But my counterpoint to that is most of them were.
Yeah, I mean, the entire team was.
Nobody. If you had a bunch of factors and one guy not carrying his weight, okay. That's not what happened. Nobody could get going. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. Kevin, what do you think on this?
Hey, Danny. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, bro.
So I'm going to be a little contrarian, I suppose, here. This reminds me a lot of when Art Monk was wrapping up his career for the Jens, and the management gave him one last year, but he still wanted to play. And we all hated seeing Art in a Jets or Eagles uniform.
Broke my heart, man.
Both.
Yeah.
But here's what happened. Because of Ovi, he kicked open the contention window again, right? And so all of a sudden, with all those big moves a year ago, we win the East and we make the Elite Eight. Now, we came up against a team that we're not as good as, and we can't beat currently in the postseason. That's Carolina. Just Carolina can't beat Florida. But at least they've done that in the Final Four. I want to keep advancing. Alex has 1 year left on his contract. So does John Carlson. Guess what? Alex, John Carlson, and Lars Eller, great Stanley Cup heroes, they can never play at the level needed to get beyond the Elite Eight. If Ovi wants to play, say, after this coming year, it's okay with me so long as he takes a home team discount and helps us in the regular season. Because at his age right now, his game is made for the regular season, not postseason. It's just a hard truth. We have to face it. And that's kind of where I'm at with it. I love the guy. He put hockey on the map, even though I've been following the team since the first puck drop in 74. But at some point, you know, you've got to do what's right for the team. You want to continue to advance. You want to build a cup contender. We want that second cup for the franchise. And eventually, that's going to mean – Carlson's going to need to step aside. Ovechkin's going to need to step aside. I don't know how they're going to finesse it.
Yeah, how do they do it?
It's got to happen.
Kevin, it's a great call as always. I agree with every word that you said. I do. I just, it's one of those, you know the meme or the little emoji where like the person's shrugging their shoulders? That's what I'm doing. I agree with every word of that. And this was, that held them back for these years post Stanley Cup. How do you tell Nicholas Backstrom? How do you tell TJ Oshie? Hey. This is awkward. You can't do it at the high enough level anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, they're still getting paid a bleep ton because, you know, they were heroes, but they broke down. The only person that doesn't break down is this freak of nature, Alex Ovechkin. Everybody else, Father Time starts chipping away. Your hip goes, your back goes, whatever. It happens to all of us. Doesn't happen to Ovechkin apparently, and to the same degree, at least in terms of injuries. That broken leg had nothing to do with age. That was just a freak thing that went down. And he came right back from a broken leg to score 44 goals. Absurd. But I think Kevin's point is right on.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's right, but I think maybe you can make an exception here with hockey. It's almost disrespectful to say maybe Ovi can take a back seat to everybody else and play on the fourth line and occasionally come in on power plays. And it's like, you still kind of got to give Ovi his role, right? It almost feels disrespectful to do that. But if there was a sport where if he understood and was, you know, fully in on trying to go for a cup and understood, look, I'm not able to get out here in the Carolina series. I can hop in on the power play. I can play in some of these specific scenarios, but I can't be playing all the time 5-on-5, and I'm maybe more of a net negative defensively and everything than I have been throughout my career. maybe you could still do that, because this is a sport, unlike basketball, like you have to, you're one of five out there, and basketball, like these, you can hide someone in hockey a little bit more, Danny, is my point. And so maybe you could get away if he understood that he was going to have to take more of a backseat role where no one's ever going to question his greatness. No question about it. Even if he's only playing 8 minutes a night, like, right? Like it's absurd to think about, but it's not going to hurt his greatness at all. But if that's maybe one way that you could get around it, if he was like, hey, let's keep playing, but I still want to go for a cup as well.
Right. That's a good point. Good discussion on that. I actually have more. A second full-fledged Capitals topic coming up later in the show. That's the 5 o'clock hour in the wake of at least the Eastern Conference Finals being all wrapped up. I got a take, and I want you guys to weigh in on that. But next, we're going to tell you no. We're going to explain that something is not a thing, but then we should feel good about it. How's that for a tease?
I like it.
2:45 next on The Fan. It's Grant Dan here on The Fan. Shelby is in for GP. Here's what we got going on right now. I want you all out there, wherever you are, okay? I want you to feel very proud. I want you to feel very happy. In general, I want that, but I especially want it now. What are you talking about, old Fanny Mouillet? What are you talking about, Danilo? Here's what I'm talking about. A player in the NFL who's good is gruntled, maybe even disgruntled. He's dissatisfied with his current surroundings, and he wants out. Talking about Jalen Ramsey and the Miami Dolphins. Jalen Ramsey either has gotten to the point where he's allowed to seek a trade, or they're keeping that quiet. I mean, the point is he's exploring options. It's another team where it seems to be their fault that he's not happy. It's funny how that goes with Jalen Ramsey. I don't know. I can't remember if it was the Rams' fault or the Jaguars' fault, or this time it's the Dolphins' fault. I don't know.
It's pretty shocking.
That guy's really, listen, he's really good. When he's on the field, engaged and healthy, when everybody's needs align and the train tracks are going for it, that dude is nasty. He could play. But what happens? He's linked to Washington. You get the blog, you get the NFL Network talking head type guys, you get the rumors. There is no substantial or substantiated report. If there is, we'll talk about it. There's no report of interest. We're not even getting to that Diana Rossini, Ian Rappaport. Adam Schefter, who's hearing that there is potential for Washington to be interested in having another player, and his name is Jalen Ramsey. We're not even getting to that point. We're not doing that. There's no non-report level. See what I'm saying? There's like the report all the way up the top, which is Washington is trading for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah.
That's a report. The next level down, which we now major in as a 24/7, 365 football consuming society, is the non-report report, which is Schefter going, they could have interest. There's potential where they've called. A call means nothing. I call Tobes. I'm like, hey, man, can I have your sandwich? No. I call Toby asking about a sandwich.
Right.
That's not a report.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, hey, what are you looking for? You do this all in fantasy football all the time, right?
Yes.
You text the guy, hey, what are you looking for so-and-so?
They're like, nothing on your roster.
Exactly. You're like, okay, sweet.
Yeah, Toby done. Explored a trade.
Yeah.
That's
what it is. So, Jalen Ramsey being linked to the Commanders, great, to your point. The reason that you should be thrilled is because you're now in that point where everybody's like, oh, good players available. They can help out this team to go to a Super Bowl.
And there it is. That's the summary, Tobes. That's your takeaway. That's your net. Right now, again, if there is a non-report report, if Mike Garofalo says, like, I talked to somebody and Adam Peters has called whatever the guy's name is, the GM in Miami, Greer, has called Greer about a deal. Okay, well, we'll react to that. We'll have a grand old time. We'll throw the ball around. We'll figure it out. The point is, somebody is gruntled, and they're linked to Washington.
Yeah. I mean, it's happened multiple times. Right. Jalen Ramsey, Trey Hendrickson, go down the list. And it's going to continue to happen because this team, whenever there's a little bit of a hole, people are immediately thinking, how do we get this team over the top? Not because, oh, get this guy out of there and maybe he helps out a little bit, but because people are thinking, oh, this team was in the NFC Championship game. Maybe that piece that they can go get, whether it's Ramsey, Hendrickson, disgruntled player X, maybe they can go get that guy and it pushes them over the top where they win the NFC Championship game and are in the Super Bowl. We haven't been there in a long time. In my lifetime, we haven't been there.
That's right.
We've been linked to players that, frankly, weren't going to do much.
And I want to draw a distinction, if I may, Tobes. in years past, they were linked to everybody because it was always about headline and big game hunting and shopping and that sort of thing. It was the way, and it's still the rep Washington has, by the way, or had even in the later years of Snyder, even though they stopped doing that. Honestly, to the point that it was upsetting, they wouldn't go get bigger name players at times. Sort of refused to do that. But it was the Mark Carrier, the Bruce Smith, the Deion Sanders, the Albert Hainsworth. We know those stories, right? Where they were always looking, and they always linked to the next big guy because that was the most exciting thing. This is different. This is a, people are speculating, to your point, because Washington's right there. They're thought of as one of the right there teams, right? When NFL Network, when Kyle Brandt and his six-pack abs are doing who's the biggest threat to the Philadelphia Eagles, and they go through a list. Now, Washington wasn't on his list, but that's the kind of conversation that they're in. Detroit's thought of as maybe a hair ahead. Tampa's pretty damn good. You could pick whoever else you think is excellent in the NFC. Washington is right there. And that's, all of a sudden, they're going to be linked to any defensive end that, you know, the Hendrickson stuff won't stop. So I saw another, I can't remember if it was a report or not, whatever it was, that Hendrickson's dug in his views, and the Bengals are dug in because that's what the Bengals do. They try to alienate people, and they're great at it.
Awesome at it.
Yeah, they piss off their players like nobody's business. And there's an impasse. So what's step two of that discussion? So here's the report. Hendrickson's dug in. Part two is, what could Washington put together in trade? Right? I mean, that's part of it. He could fit in Washington, could fit in Philadelphia, could fit in Detroit. That's the cool part about all this.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know that, I've said before, I wasn't in on Hendrickson. I'm obviously not in on Jalen Ramsey. I believe you're kind of in that same boat that I don't want to go trade for Jalen Ramsey. But I think, like you were saying before, Washington's been linked to good players before that were available, disgruntled, whatever, for a trade. But this time it's different because when you read why people are saying trade for this guy, it's this piece is missing for them to go to what? A Super Bowl. Right? Like, that's what they're talking about. And that's the difference between right now and before. Before it was like, yeah, this could help them out. This could help them go from a 6-win team to maybe an 8-win team. Now it's, hey, this team could be pushed over the top to go win this thing. And I think that's when maybe these things need to be considered maybe a little bit more seriously as well.
Yeah, and they went and got Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil this offseason via trade to kind of to prove that point. We had a regularly scheduled program, but something has just come across my desk. We have an investigation, a show investigation that we will get to the bottom of. It involves corporate actors.
Okay.
It involves bosses, and it involves a lie.
Oh.
And also an inappropriate compliment. We'll do that when we come back next.